Hi, it's Dave. So it's been a crazy, crazy 1 week. About a week ago, I was scrambling, looking at the situation in Afghanistan and seeing if I can do anything. And the feeling was like I just couldn't sit back and do nothing because I knew there was going to be a huge amount of generational impact happening just in a matter of days. And where people end up in terms of geography after the U.S. leaves is going to make a huge impact to many, many, perhaps generations of people. So I wanted to see if I could help. I tweeted out kind of an offer and I said, hey, I wanted to help people. And one of my YouTube followers DM'd me and says, hey, I know some people, you know, and he was from Afghanistan. And so we got a clubhouse going. It was like almost that same day. And in that clubhouse, I met Fatima and Rabia. They were students in Canada who had their families back in Kabul and they didn't know what to do. And check out that interview actually in my channel. I'll link to it in the video description. That was last week. We started to build a network immediately, and it was kind of like an underground railroad of sorts because first I was trying to find, are any borders open? Like how are people crossing the borders and what we needed to do, right? And what are the different kind of alternative routes? And for most of the families we were helping, actually the airport and through governments wasn't going to either work or wouldn't be timely. And then there's also other questions of logistics. How much money do we need? What kind of people do we need on the ground? How do we get the resources to the right place? In the end, just actually, was it yesterday morning or the day before? My brain has brain fog. This whole week I've been barely getting any sleep. But we were finally successful in getting out all the five families that we're helping. Rabia's family, Fatima's family, and three others. And they all are friends, actually, up in Canada. And the total people was 38 people in total. That was directly coordinated by me and these five families. And then there were actually more than 100 others that a partner was coordinating separately and that we helped finance through my network on my YouTube channel and on Twitter. So in this video, I want to reveal it all. And I want to share, actually, open it up, how we did what we did. And I want to share as much as I can. I thought the cool, kind of an interesting way of doing it was to bring on one of the ladies that we helped. And I'm going to bring on Samaya Ahmadi. And she is a college student up in Vancouver, Canada, studying at LaSalle College. Let me bring her up right now. Hi, Samaya. How are you doing?
Hi, Dave. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a crazy week, huh?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Have you gotten any sleep? Have you gotten some sleep, actually, after your family's gotten out?
Yeah, maybe like for the last two nights, okay. I got like some sleep.
Yeah, it's been, I got a little bit more sleep last night, actually, after you guys were out. Yeah, but more people are contacting me. Yeah. So Samaya, you're in Canada right now studying fashion design, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it your, you said you had a few more semesters to go or so?
Yeah, I have like a few more semesters to go. I actually took a semester off because of all the things that's going on. I couldn't focus on my school. So I'm like just like working right now. And maybe hopefully I can like start again like next semester.
Got it. So I'm wondering if you could just tell us a brief kind of background of where you grew up and how you got to Canada. And then maybe we can go into your family who are still in Afghanistan up until just a couple of days ago. But yeah, where did you grow up in Afghanistan and how did you, you know, end up in Canada?
Okay, I grew up in Kabul. I studied like two classes, like first classes in Iran. Then we, like after Taliban left like Kabul, then like we came back to Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan for like till grade like 11. I studied in Marifat High School actually. Like a lot of my friends, we were like classmates. And like after that, I got like a full scholarship in one of the boarding schools in Wisconsin, United States. So I moved to United States when I was like 17, and I did my high school there. It was like a pretty good experience. And after that, I decided to move to Canada. So I applied for asylum and I got my PR. I've been in Canada for like 5 years in BC.
Got it. So for those who don't know, PR is permanent residence in Canada. Boarding school, did you do your your junior and senior years, or just 1 year in the boarding school in the US?
Yeah, it was like just my senior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. That's amazing. Was it difficult to get that scholarship?
It was definitely difficult. I remember like applying for like several schools, and like I got into like few of them because like I really wanted to go like to the United States or like out of Afghanistan and like explore more. Yeah, so like I got into few schools, but like most of them didn't offer me full scholarship, and like I couldn't like pay myself, or like my family couldn't afford it. So like I kind of like was this like I already gave up, but because like all of them didn't give me like full scholarship, then like I was like, oh, I'm not gonna give up. Then like I like still like looked for more school. Then finally Nord, my school, they like offered me full scholarship, and yeah, it was difficult, but.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. For people who don't know Afghanistan, and how different it is, like how much like per month was your family like living off of? Like, because if people might not have an idea of like, oh, maybe like you're saying you can't afford to pay boarding school in the US, but how big of a gap is that, like in terms of what your family is like,
Yeah,
living on there?
it's like a lot different. So like I don't know how much is it right now. So like one US dollar would be like around 50 or
50.
60
Okay.
RMB. Or it might be even higher right now because yeah, all the things that are going out. But yeah, it's a lot different actually. So like our monthly income would be around like maybe 30,000 Afghanis,
Okay.
or
Got
like
it.
less than that. It depends
Okay.
on the month. Yeah.
Right. And 30,000 Afghani, let's see how much that is. So $350 about, got
Yeah,
it.
it's not
Yeah.
like
Got it.
nothing in
Yeah, so
30.
they can't send you any money from Afghanistan to
Exactly. So like
Got
getting
it.
a full like affording a school in the United
Yeah.
States like is crazy. Like
Yeah.
you can't do it. So like I was like hoping to get like full scholarship, and my
Got it.
school like offered me full scholarship. I was like, yay, I'm going to US.
After okay, so let's fast forward a bit, because I mean you have your family still in Kabul this whole time. Who's in your family? Like yeah, if you can share.
It's my younger two sisters. One is 17, Rahman is 17, and my youngest sister's her name is Mahdia, and she's like around 16. And my mom.
Okay, got it. And so while you left to US and to Canada, like, have you been in touch with your family a lot? Like, what's been the communication?
Yeah, I've been like talking to them all the time because like I miss them like so much. Yeah, like I usually call them like once in a day for sure. Yeah.
Got it. And then how do you communicate? Is it WhatsApp usually, or?
Yeah, it's usually WhatsApp, Messenger.
Got
Yeah.
it. Okay. And then your two younger sisters, I'm curious, like, what are they like? Are they just, what do they like to do? Are they just normal teenage girls, or, yeah.
Oh my God, they're actually so talented. Rahmana, the 17 years old. She's like actually she used to sing a lot. She used to play guitar, and like she likes painting. She's like so talented, and it's really sad that like there is not much opportunities for like young generation, especially right now, to grow. Yeah, Mahdi is really talented too. They both know how to speak English. They have like actually Rahmana, my younger sister, she wants to like be a fashion designer too. So yeah, we both wanna like have our brand in the future, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When you heard the Taliban took over Kabul a little over a week ago, what was your reaction or feeling?
I don't know, since like I came to US or like I moved out of house, even though like I was so young, like I always wanted my family to be with me or like get them out of Afghanistan for some reasons, you know, like even like when I was young, I knew that like I don't know, like Taliban's gonna come back and like it's not that like I didn't have hope, but still I was like really uptight about this idea of like Taliban coming back to Afghanistan and taking over. And when it finally happened, it none of us could believe it. Like none of us. My mom was like in Kabul when like Taliban like took over Afghanistan like the first time. And like she used to tell us the stories like how Taliban used to treat women or like treat everyone else, and how like hard was it was for them to live and like you know actually live. And we were like so terrified, you know, like we were thinking Taliban as just like really big monsters that you know like gonna keep us like in a box and like we're not gonna be able to move. But when it actually happened, it was like terrifying, and I was like really scared because like I have always like tried my mom and to get my mom and my sister out of Afghanistan, and when it finally like Taliban came, I just like felt like really hopeless. I was like, oh my gosh, like they're here and I can't do much. I was blaming me. I was like basically blaming everything. That too, like few days, I just like I felt like I'm not alive. Like I would go to like work, you know, like I'm just like thinking about everything back home and like what's going on there. Like I was just too scared for my family. Are they gonna be alive or are they gonna not be alive? What's gonna happen to me? And yeah, so like I couldn't focus on my school. I couldn't literally focus on my like jobs. I did like miss like a lot of days at work. Because like it was crazy. Like thinking about it just like gave me like so much stress, and like sometimes I just like it was hard for me to breathe. At work, when I like remember like oh like what's happening in Afghanistan right now, it's just like I'm like here like helping customers, but mentally I'm there and like I feel like really heartbroken and like stressed. So yeah, I did took like a few days off, and I took the semester off because like I couldn't handle it. But yeah,
And then how
it
did and then, yeah, how did you find me then?
How did I find you? Okay, Fatima. Fatima gave me your Twitter. I never used Twitter before that. I always heard of Twitter. I have like other social media platforms, but not Twitter. But so like I downloaded it. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna like there are like a lot of people. I kind of like gave up. I was like, oh my gosh, there's like no one who could help us, you know, like no one like cares about us. And like so yeah, like when Fatima gave me your name, and like I looked it up in Twitter, and like I texted you, and I told you that like Fatima gave me your Twitter, and like you added me on WhatsApp, and like we started talking from there. Yeah.
What day was that? Do you remember? Was each day feels like a month this past week.
That was like a year.
It was early in the week, maybe Monday or
Yeah,
maybe
it
around
was.
or
I think
something, right?
something.
Or
Yeah,
something,
it
but
wasn't like it was like a week ago.
less than a week ago.
Yeah.
So you heard from Fatima and Rabia were in my first interview. They're friends of yours. Up in
Yeah.
Vancouver, so you guys hang out, and I've talked with all of you guys together in the same apartment. But yeah, when you contacted me, we did a Skype interview really fast. I'm like, get on, Skype. I want to, hear about your situation, and because of
Okay.
you're being friends with Fatima and Rabia, we can include you kind of in the same communication and you can learn from what they're doing. And so I'll pause this video right now for a sec. I want to show a clip from that interview I did. I think it was back on Monday or so early in the week where we had first communication, like things were desperate. We had to move fast or, you know, we wouldn't have time. So here's the clip.
Honestly, like this past few days, I've been like communicating with them like throughout the day.
Okay.
Well, like right now it's like nighttime. They're like in Kabul, but like they're sleeping. But like I make sure to like call them and text them.
All right, they're 16 and 17, you said? All right, so fast forward. We do the Skype interview and I'm like, we got to rush, right? The border is still open into Pakistan by land down south. And what did you do next? What was your next steps?
Our original plan was to get like their Iran visa so they can like move to Iran and like go to Malaysia from there, which is like super expensive. But I was like out of options. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. I don't mind like just working here and like not studying. I just want you guys to be safe. So yeah, the original problem was that, but it didn't work because it just got postponed because of COVID, because of Taliban, and like at the end, it just got canceled. So I was just like so hopeless. I'm like, there's nothing else to do, and like there's no way, like other way for them to get out of Afghanistan, except you know, like going to Pakistan. And I wanted them after you told me, yeah, like the border is gonna close and like it's gonna get like harder every day. I was like, I'm just gonna get them out of there like as soon as possible. I told them to pack all their stuff one day. I was just like so consistent. I didn't sleep. I just like calling them, oh, pack this, pack that, like, or like do everything and like don't worry about anything else. Just like pack all the things that you need for now. And in the morning they went to company and like they from there they went to Kandahar. It was a quite journey. It was hard.
Were your sisters scared at all, or were they just ready just to go? And do you know anything about their feelings?
They were like, they've been like, I feel like they were like ready. They just were so scared to stay in Afghanistan. There's just like, I remember my younger sister telling me that like, this after COVID like died down a bit, the school started again. And like I told my sister to go back to school, and like there was like rumors that like not rumors, Taliban was taking like over the provinces, you know, not Kabul but like other provinces. And like I remember my sister, you know, kind of giving up. She was like, I don't want to go to school. I feel like there's no like future. Even if I go to school, like nothing's gonna happen. And like, and I just like felt so sad because like, you know, like, and there's nothing else for them to do, you know, like they're staying at home and like they're super scared. Both of my sisters and my mom, they're like, yeah, they just wanted to get out of there, like no matter what, or they wanted to go, like it doesn't matter. They just wanted to get out of there. So yeah, like when I told them, they're just like, I told them before, like they like even going to like Kandahar, I told them it's going to be super hard. I wish I was there to help you guys like emotionally, but like I'm not there, but like I'm gonna be calling you guys like, you know, all the time. They're like super young, so I was like, so yeah, I'll be calling you guys, stay strong, you guys can do this. So yeah, they did it.
Okay. It's a brutal journey. I mean, we're talking like 15 hours, right, just to get to the border about. And so in process, so this past week, I mean, this is just stuff we're unpacking right now, but so we had Fatima's family, they were getting down 19 people or so, and then Rabia's family of three. So we had 22 people already ahead of you guys, right? And so they're your friends, you're in touch with them, I'm coordinating everything with them. How much did that help you to see kind of some people ahead of you, your family? And then you had Fatima and Rabia next to you.
Yeah, it helped me a lot. I felt like so like the before like I got contacted with you and like with Fatima, like before that, I remember the past like the week before that, I was just like so like in my box, and like I was just like so like I was just blaming myself, you know, like, oh, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have like got them out of there sooner, it's all your fault. So yeah, but like I didn't talk to any friends, you know, like I didn't go out to hang out with anyone to just like, you know, yeah, I was just blaming myself, and I was just like in my room all the time, and like yeah, just you know, crying. But when like Fatima and Robin, like I saw them, the process and like helping them, helping each other, it's just like I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually not alone. Like before, like the last week, I just felt like it was only me. It's not only me. There's like a lot of kids in Afghanistan. There's a lot of family back there, and they all need help. And I should be strong. I should stay strong, and I should like do what I can for them and for my family. So yeah, it did give me like a lot of strength and hope. Talking to my friends, talking to you. So yeah.
Got it. So for those wondering, like, you know, what are we, how are we doing this, right? So basically the process was, you know, I tweeted out, we did Clubhouse, I got connected to Fatima Rabi, I did an interview with them. And then from that interview, on my channel with Fatima Rabia, somebody reached out and we're able to establish some help in Pakistan, who someone who was able to help us find some agents who help people cross the border. And some don't do much, but they at least take them to the border, give some help, some tips and stuff, and meet them on the other side to take them. And they provide other things, but without kind of that piece of the puzzle, it was going to be really, really hard. And so actually this YouTube channel really like paved the way for us to establish contacts in Pakistan to get kind of the border crossing avenue through, and then to get information too. So one of the difficult parts is the border open? Who's crossing it? How do you get there? What do you need to cross? All this stuff. And so for that, actually, YouTube was great, but also Twitter was great. So using my Twitter network, I was able to contact a bunch of people. People contacted me, and I was able to confirm through four different sources that the border there was open. People had just crossed. And what's crazy is there was so much noise. A lot of people were saying it's too dangerous. People aren't crossing. It's like, and when I was pressing them for more information, they just didn't have it. It was just rumors, right? And so there's so many rumors that it was closed. But when I pressed information from the right people and through contacts, then the right information came out. And Twitter and YouTube was crucial. So yeah, everyone who's watching and just you guys are part of, I think, something bigger. Much bigger to help people even beyond what we're doing here. So we have our contacts established in Pakistan. We have kind of, you know, the agent contacts to help people, you know, cross in some way. Fatima and Rabia's family are right at the border. And the first day we try, this is probably like Monday night, but yeah, I forget, Monday or early in the week in Kabul time. Three of Rabia's family and one of Fatima's family crossed. 18 were rejected. Do you remember that actually? You were part of like, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you scared that your family was going to get rejected also?
I was definitely really scared because it's a lot harder for my mom, like alone with my sisters. So yeah, and they're really young. They never cross the borders to anywhere. So yeah, I was definitely scared, but I was hopeful. I was just like wanted them to get out of there like as soon as possible. So like I wanted them to try anyways.
Yeah, your family was a tough one or challenging one because other families they had like men part of their group, but your family had only your mom and two teenage girls making a 15-hour drive, you know, through Afghanistan, like, you know, to the
Really
border.
hard.
Yeah, and yeah, so it was a tough one. So you get to the border and then it was, I think Rabia's or Fatima's family crossed the next day, the 18. And then I think the next day your family came down together with Shagofa, or they met up together, right? How do you know Shagofa?
Shigofa is like one of my best friends too. We went to the same school back home in Afghanistan, but like she wasn't my classmate. Obviously, she is like younger than me.
Okay.
But yeah, she's amazing. Like all of these girls that I know, they're like super amazing. They're just like they have like big hearts and like yeah,
so,
I love them.
So your family 3, and then Shigofa's family of 7. They came separately, but you guys are at the same place or nearby, generally. Near the border. And so you guys, families are trying to basically cross the border. This is about 3 days ago or so. So what happens then? Like, are you in touch with your sisters, and are there problems like meeting up, and like, what are the first, you know, the final hours before they try to cross?
Yeah. So like, they were planning to have the same agent helping them cross the border, so that was the plan. But like things changed really quickly, and like my family had like their agent, and the Shigofa's family there had their agent. So like, but they both went to Boldak together. Once they got to Boldak, I think my family they crossed the border, tried the first time. yeah, so like they, I think they passed the second gate. And they talked because, like, from what Rahmana told me, she told me that, like, from like once they passed the second gate, one of the police officers pointed them at like a way, and like they just like, you know, straight went to that way, and they thought like they crossed the border. They thought like it was that easy, you know, like just like they were happy. Rahman told me, oh my gosh, we're like so happy. We're like, oh my gosh, we crossed the border. It wasn't that difficult. Then, so yeah, once they like, just like went straight, they saw like the scars. They're all saying, oh, going to Boldak, you know, they were like, what do you mean going to Boldak, you know? So they thought they were in Pakistan. But they're like back to Afghanistan. So they were like, oh my gosh, we're back in Afghanistan. You know, like we couldn't cross the border. So like, they're like so sad. And
did they call
you? I remember.
You?
They called me. I remember telling them, like, because like before that, like I told them to like, there's like this burqas that you gotta like wear to like be like Pashtuns. So like burqas, like it covers your face completely. I can show you the picture actually later, maybe. My sister sent me the picture. I can send it to you. So like they took like few pictures. They sent it to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys gotta wear the burqas. Just like, you know, like try it again. So yeah, they tried again. They luckily passed the border this time. So like my younger sister actually, like they're super sharp and smart. So like they saw the opportunities and like just like acted really well, and so yeah, they passed the border, they crossed the border, and then like once they got there, they called me, and I was just like so shocked and happy. Like I've never been that happy in my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just so relieved. Like thank God, you know. Like I was just thinking about everything and thanking everyone. I was just yeah. It was like a really happy moment.
Yeah, that's the short version too. I mean, there's more.
That's the short
version. Yeah, there's like, they had extra help too.
Crossing the border is like so difficult. It's like, especially for like, just young ladies without any men. You know, it's just so hard. And like, especially because like, as being Hazaras, it's just like people can recognize us like easily from like our face. So yeah, it was most like really difficult. They were like super tired. My younger sister was, there was another story actually. So my mom and my sister, Rahmana and my mom, they went like a bit forward because like it's really busy. The border is like really busy, so they went a bit further. And my youngest sister Mahdia was left behind, like 4 or 5 meters away. And like she started crying and yelled my Rahmana's name. She was like, "Rahmana, Rahmana," like that. She was just started crying, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh!" Like when they told me this story, like later, I was like, my heart was so broken. I was like, "This girl's not like just teenagers, you know, like just 16, 17 years old. Why do they have to cross the border right now? Why don't they just like, you know, like focus on their school? They're like so talented." It's just like it breaks your heart, but
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
your sisters, man. Yeah, they brave souls and creative too. They came up with a lot of creative ideas that we're not sharing here too. But I you know, before I was kind of communicating with all of you guys separately with our contacts and Pakistan with you guys, and then like Fatima, Rabia, Shagofa, you, and then all that. And I put you guys all in a same WhatsApp group, right? So this is like before you guys were starting to cross. Yeah. So you had, you know, Fatima, Rabia, and Shagofa, and you, and then we also had like our contacts who are helping us, you know, with all the agents and all that stuff. So we were in this like, you know, what big WhatsApp group, and we were problem solving all along the way. So it's like, we got this set up before you guys, you know, I think probably like on the way to Kandahar or something. So we're like, okay, where are we going to meet? You know, where are you going to stay? Do you guys have the right agents? The night before, we're like, this is like really last minute. I don't know if people realize how much stuff changes, because like some of these agents are super busy. They don't answer the phone calls. They can't, you know,
they don't pick up the phone calls. You gotta
exactly.
like, you gotta be really quick and like problem solve like really quick. And like, luckily we're all like really, you know, like ready to help each other. And like, we're in the same group and yeah, we were helping each other. And it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And the night before,
being at the same time.
Yeah. The night before we're exchanging, you know, agent numbers and all this stuff. And call this one, call this person, me here. And then this is like coordinating across different countries, right? Like different places. And, we and you guys, you know, what I love about kind of the setup is it's like, it's not just people who don't know your family. It's like, you know them and you're calling them and you're looking out after them. And then we're connecting you with your friends who are doing the same thing, and then connecting them with me, and then others who could, you know, help as well. So it's kind of like this, it's trying to give a superpower to you, you know, and to your family, extra resources, knowledge, and in a pathway.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was awesome to see that WhatsApp group, because I'm like, wow, it's like you guys are just like doing it all, you know. It's like amazing.
It was definitely an amazing experience.
Yeah.
It was definitely hard and scary at the times, and but we got through it, which I'm like proud of each of and every one of us.
So your family got through. Shagofa's family, I think,
struggled a bit.
Yeah, they struggled. Yeah, it took
them. Yeah, for them, they have like younger sisters, like younger siblings. So for like a bigger family of like younger siblings, it's a bit harder for them to cross the border, because like they can't really hide their face, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like harder for them to keep the pace. They're like a bit slower. So there's like a lot of reasons for them to be a bit like behind. So like they've tried like few times. I just like, once like my family crossed the border, I was happy, but like I was just like really scared for like other families, for Shagufa's, for Zora's families. And like I was like, yeah, like hopefully they can go through it too.
Yeah.
For them, it definitely was a lot harder than my family.
So Shagufa's another friend of, you know, this group, and their family took 3 days, but that's another story. I mean, I think I might have to have Shagofa on, and yeah, that was a crazy one. That border area, just recently, just past couple of days, it's gotten a lot harder to cross. Very, very much, much more difficult. And there's many reasons behind that. Obviously, there's a lot of people trying, and there's different, you know, there's a Pakistan side, a Taliban side, there's different, it's complicated. And I think I'm glad you guys were able to get out while you could before, you know, right now, because right now it's a different ball game, and it's sad. It's challenging. Yeah, I think there could be some other way. I'm like, yeah, there's still people contacting me, trying to help, who have family. And last night I had this idea that it's going to take some time, but I think it has possibility actually to help people. So it's another route, and it might be another WhatsApp group, another set of contacts.
But I'm happy to help. Like,
yeah,
See, that's to agree. I'm gonna help them because, like, from all the experience, I just like I want to help as much as I can to like all like, because I just like feel really like sad, you know, like being for all of the kids back there. Like, they're all talented. They're like they're kids, and they deserve to be like to deserve to like live and like be kids, you know. It just like for us, I guess like when I like came to United States or like Canada, it's completely different, you know, like their lives here compared to like our lives in Afghanistan. It's like so different. And, like, I always compare things. I'm like, oh, like this is a lot different back in Afghanistan. You know, kids are like a lot, they have like a lot of opportunities here. They have their families. Yeah, it's like a lot harder back in Afghanistan, and they don't get those opportunities to like improve their talents or like work on their skills, and they're like always, you know, pushed down, and like they're like, oh, a lot of them gave up like the younger ages, and like I feel like they're a lot mature compared to like, you know, because like they've seen a lot. They've seen like people like dying every day. They've seen like their hopes and their dreams dying every day. So like they definitely seen a lot, and they're like they're broken, and like they deserve to be live like a kid. They deserve to be happy. They deserve to have a family. They deserve to have friends. They deserve to have like a social life. A lot of the things, which is like impossible right now for them, which is like, I just want to like help as many people as I can.
Yeah. I mean, especially as the Taliban starts to get more like power and control and starts to implement their policies. Like, that's so sad to see, you know, especially young girls, you know, like start to give up their dreams because
it has hard for like younger girls. Things were actually changing a bit in Afghanistan, like Kabul, like a lot of girls, they were like, and I was like so happy. I was like, oh my god, go girls. They were like, you know, studying, you know, like having fun, having friends, but things started changing again by like Taliban taking over, and they're just like, so sad. There's all like all those kids, they're just like in a box at home. They can't move out, like they can't go out, and there's they can't speak up, you know, like their voices are broken, their hearts are broken, their families are broken. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of them gave up already.
So Maya, so your sisters and your mom, they get out to Quetta, Pakistan, and how are they doing? When's the last time you talked with them?
I talked to them. Rahmana called me around like 4 a.m. She was like a bit like emotional. I tried to like, you know, I like the past last like 2 nights, I tried to get some sleep. But I'm always like, you know, like my phone is always by my side, and like I'm just, you know, like I'm ready to like pick up their calls and like talk to them. Like, I just want to be like emotional support for them. And so she was a bit emotional from all the things that are going on, and like she was like sad, but like I talked to them. I was like, there's always like, we should never like lose our hope, you know. There's always like good people around the world who can help us. She was scared about, you know, like what's gonna happen after we came to Pakistan, you know, like what if like I don't know, they kick us out of here, what's gonna happen from there? She was really scared. She was like, what if we make start living here, but they destroy our lives here again? She was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah, they were she was really scared and talking and crying. Usually she's so strong. She's been strong the whole time. She's been taking, because I wasn't home, back home with my family, with my mom and sister. So she was, although she's really young, but she's been taking my mom, taking care of my mom and my sisters. I always try to emotionally support them or financially. But yeah, she, it was 4 in the morning, and I was just like, I woke up and she was crying. I was just like, I was really sad, but I give him give her a hope. I was like, there's always good people around the world. They're happy to help us. And, Dave is already helping us a lot. He's not even sleeping. One week, Dave, not only you, a lot of other
Yeah.
people who are helping us a lot. I'm like, we shouldn't. They're not giving up on us. We shouldn't give up on us too. I talked to her a lot. I was like, okay, it's okay. I'll find a way for you guys to start studying, maybe take a few courses. I will I'm gonna bring you guys here. For sure I'm gonna bring you guys in Canada. So I give her hope, and I'm hopeful too. So yeah, that was our 4 a.m.
Yeah,
talk.
they're by themselves, you know. They're staying in a tiny room, you know, a place they don't know. Like they don't speak the, you know, it's hard to get around, do stuff, and literally they didn't, like when they crossed the border, like do you know how much money they had? Like they barely had anything, right? They used it all up, right? At that point.
It was so hard. It was just the worst day. They just didn't have anything. It was so hard to send money from here. It was crazy. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were. I mean, your family was like, it was one of those cases where it's like, yeah, I feel like, yeah, there's something special getting you guys across. And then, you know, yeah, it's a new chapter, and I know you're trying to help, and I'm trying to help you as well. Yesterday, we were trying to get some help from Canada to get your families moved out of there, and we got some good news and bad news and you know a bunch of different news. But one of the good news is that I found out, I didn't even know before, that you have permanent residence in Canada,
Yeah,
right?
right
And I'm
here.
like, oh my gosh, like that's a game changer. I'm like, I didn't know that in the beginning. And then Fatima and Rabia have permanent residence. We have three. Rabia is studying, and Zara doesn't have. She's her situation is a bit more complicated, but you guys at least, I mean, it's, and with your family, you have permanent residence. So last night we're scrambling, and I'm getting you, Fatima, and Shagofa to draft emails to contact the Canadian government, and I'm like, we need to get these families out of there, you know, especially your family. And Shagofa's family has little kids, actually Fatima's family, but they have a bigger family. But it's like, yeah, it's yeah, I don't know. I mean, and then we got bad news too. I mean, the bad news is I reached out to a lawyer who works with refugees in Canada, and he's saying like it doesn't look good right now because he's saying they don't even have their program up and running for Afghan and refugees, right? The special program, they're gonna need UNHCR status, they're gonna need all this application process, all this stuff before they even start the application process. And then they start that, and then, and it's just so complicated that it's like, it's tough to say, you know, like how long they're gonna be there. And I mean, I think that's probably part of your sister's anxiety. It's like, how many months or years are we gonna be here? What is our future like? Like, you know, there's so many questions.
It's definitely hard for them because they're alone,
Yeah.
my mom and my two younger sisters. So yeah, there are like definitely a lot like scared because like there's not much support for them, and like I try my best to support them from here, but yeah, like when like you told me yesterday, I knew that like if I emailed the government and like there was a hope, so like I was like really happy yesterday. I was like super happy. I'm like, yeah, oh my gosh. I was just like, daydreaming. I was like, oh my gosh. I was just like imagining, manifesting my mom and sisters here. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, if only if they were here right now, just things would be a lot different for me, them.
So folks watching, we need your help. Here we have a Canadian permanent resident, studying in Vancouver, and her younger sisters are stuck. They don't have much help on the ground. They don't know what to do, and they could be there for years if they don't get the right help. I'm not going to handhold people and tell people what to do, but for those watching who know what to do, like you know what to do, right? I mean, we need to contact, people in the government to try to expedite this. This is this video. Give the link. Let people watch it. This is the real story. It's happening real time right now. This isn't something that's, like happening weeks or days ago. This is like right now, Saturday morning, August 28th, right? I'm doing this interview. We need people helping contacting government. We need help people getting the story out, because the more people that know about Samaya's family, also the others, the more that people have a connection to them and their stories, to families, that will help them, but also it'll help others, Because a lot of times when people think about Afghanistan, they think, oh, it's just this country way out far away with people who talk different and think different, and there's no connection, right? But the reality is, actually, if you take away the language barrier and some of the culture things, like we're all connected. We're all, the same type of people, all same people in a sense, like the same brothers and sisters in a way. And I think media can help personalize the story and help people connect, and it can help motivate some people to lend a reaching hand out to Samaya, to her sisters out there. We need your help. So YouTube and Twitter folks, on my network, and those other people, you guys did an amazing job helping me and joining me to bring out 38 people, Samaya and her friends, out into Pakistan. And now is the next step. And I'm hopeful that we can help and be of service. And so, let's get to work trying to help out. It's been a long week. But
Thank you for giving us hope where there wasn't any hope. I was actually like hopeless. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do much. Like there is no. I was just like heartbroken. Then like I got to talk to you, and like you started giving me hope and like helped us a lot, and like you and others. I just like I'm really thankful for all of you. I've learned a lot, and like I wanna like help people. Like honestly, there's like a lot going on in the world, and like I want like the world to be like peaceful, and like kids to be like kids and like live happy life. But I'm really thankful for all of you.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that message. And also, the cool thing is, my channel is mostly about investing, but part of this is investing. Like, for example, one of the things that allowed me to do what I'm doing, I mean, there's a different kind of background with me, but one of those things is finances. And, I was able to write a tweet. This was back, I think, on Thursday of last week, maybe like 9 days ago, when everything first started, like Taliban just took over. And I'm like, hey, I've got to do something, I can't sit back. And if I just want to try to help even one person, and like, rather than just like, writing a check and then forgetting about it, no, I want to actually see that happen. I want to see this person like I want to do something that makes a real difference, that if I didn't help, like, it wouldn't have happened. Like, what, like, if I, can I do something that really, like, changes, you know, the course of just even one person's life? And so I'm like, hey, if anyone knows of an opportunity, I told people, hey, on Twitter, I'm like, I'm willing to donate $50,000 to any effort that does that. Contact me, DM me. And part of what allowed me to do that was, you know, the ability and actually to have resources that actually, and I'll be honest here. I was telling my wife yesterday, like, 50,000 to some people is a lot. And objectively, it could be a lot in terms of what it could do. And yeah, it is a lot, especially in that region or for different things. But I was telling my wife, and it's a strange thing. I'm like, you know, it's the power of investing too. It's the power of compounding. And it's the power it's a strange thing. Is I was telling my wife, like, you know, like, in my 20s, I was going to different countries trying to help people, but I didn't have resources. Like, getting $1,000, $5,000, it was so hard. And I was just, like, up nights, and, like, it was just, it seemed like a mountain to cross, $1,000 or $5,000. But then I told my wife, fast forward to now, I'm like, we can, you know, just take 50,000 and just throw it away, and it doesn't mean anything to our life, because it's like, it's far less than even 1% of our assets. It doesn't have any impact to our living at all. And I could just toss it for a cause and something that I think has a chance to work. And I'm like, you know, that's one piece of the picture. It's not all of the pieces, but it's kind of a different angle of finance and investing, where, there's something that I think finance and investment can allow people to have certain resources that they can use actually to take more riskier bets and to do certain things. Like, I was telling my wife yesterday, like, I have the time and energy to do, like, this stuff right now, you know, and I'm not dependent on, like, I could stop my YouTube channel for a week and just focus on this. I could, you know, there's options and stuff. And, there's a lot of, like, vision or things that, I think I've learned a lot in terms of this past week of how others can also, you know, be part of many new things and important things in the future. So, and hopefully your fashion company can take off, and maybe you could do it with your sister.
I want to have my own, like, we want to have our own brand in the future. I'm really into fashion design. When I came here, I always wanted to be a doctor, like, as, like, all the families want their kids to be a doctor, like, or a lawyer. So yeah, I love biology. I took a few biology classes, but, like, I was always drawn to, like, you know, fashion design. So it was, like, a bit hard, like, a hard choice, but, like, I finally made my choice. I'm like, I'm gonna start fashion design, you know, I'm gonna take the risk.
Got it. I kind of have an idea or vision for fashion too, a bit. Maybe we could start something. I don't know. I have some ideas too, but anyways. Interesting. Anyways, guys, thank you for watching. And thank you for being part of the journey. You can follow me on Twitter at HeyDave7 for kind of more real-time updates. Thank you for all those who actually reached out. And I had a group of about, you know, 50 to 100 people that I kept in a Twitter chat group who had offered help and actually finances to be part of this together with me. And that was awesome, because I gave real-time updates on the spot, and they got a super crazy experience as well. And so, thank you for everyone doing everything that you did. And the job's still not done, but... yeah, it's amazing that, what's happened so far. So take care, and we'll see you guys later.